Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of our podcast 1000 Years of Beer. As always, I welcome you, Matthias Ebner, International Brand Ambassador for the Weinsteffen Brewery, the world's oldest brewery. And also, as always, today with me in the podcast, our online marketing manager, Anton. Hey, how are you doing, Anton?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to our English episode about very, very special beers. Because the day this episode will be released or is released is the German Beer Day. And as you probably most of you know, German Beer Day is celebrated in honor of the purity law from 1516. So the last time we did an episode on that topic on the purity law was in 2021. Was one of our first episodes ever, and we talked a lot about the purity law and why it's so important to us. And this time we wanted to turn the things around and we wanted to talk about special beers that are not brewed within the purity law. So well, some, you know, you've seen the title of the episode. It's Weird Beers for Bavarians. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. We will come back to our go-to beers later, but this is what we're going to talk about. So, yeah, Matthias, we had a couple beers a few days ago, and that's actually what gave us the idea for this episode, right?
Yeah, we tasted some very interesting beers that Tim, our United States market manager, Tim Lynch from Los Angeles, brought us, different kind of American craft beers. And some of them were so-called pastry stouts. And we tasted them. And, well, it was a pretty much of an experience. I guess, or me as a Bavarian by choice, who moved here to study brewing science here in Weinsteffen and work for the world's oldest brewery in the world, the Bavarian State Brewery, Weinsteffen. Well, I guess we too, Anton, you and me, we are more keen to or more into Bavarian and German style beers like Helles, Pils, Hefeweiss beer, whatever.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
But so we need to say, or I need to confess, that the road to, in our opinion, or how we
what we define beer, as
weird. Yeah, define beers is a pretty short road, because when you just look into the purity law, the road to define something as weird beers is not that long.
Yeah, because we're just used to the Bavarian purity law, so we're only as most of you listeners.
Yeah, that's how we started to learn how beer should
exactly.
be. That's
exactly.
How I learned how to brew beer is according to the Bavarian purity law, and that means only malted grains, barley malt, malted grains, water, hops, and yeast. That's it. So there are no more ingredients, and this law, or these ingredients, are defined more or less since 1516, since the 23rd April 1516, where the Dukes of Bavaria stated the purity law. And that's why the German and Bavarian Beer Day is on the 23rd April, because on that date they released the purity law. But more or less, that's it, how it is today. And the only thing that was left out at that time, in the original purity law, there was no yeast mentioned, because the people don't understand the microorganism yeast. They did not know that it was there, but without yeast, no beer. And so they added it later on in the early 20th century to the Bavarian purity law, that they say, well, it was always there, but the people did not know it because lack of knowledge. So,
But this is and this is why we celebrate German Beer Day every year, because it's special to Bavarians and to a lot of Germans that
that's our tradition, and that's how we define beer and how we see beer. But like I said, the road to or the the way defining something in our, you know, perspective, what yeah. weird beers is it's very short.
Yep.
And yeah,
so
that's why what we want to talk about today.
So we already heard that we tried some of those beers a couple of days ago, but how do you feel about that? Are you touching a lot of beers that are not brewed according to the purity law, or is that something?
Yeah, I guess I should say no. I never drink beer that's not produced based or according to the Bavarian purity law from 1516. But that's of course not true. I taste and drink nearly everything I can, just to you know, stay open minded and widen the horizon I have when it comes to beer. But I need to say that the Bavarian purity law for beer from 1516, like I described it before, defines this special way. And then for me personally, that's how I define it, is that there are some certain levels of beers that are outside of that purity law. So that are produced not according to the purity law. And I guess there are different levels, some kind of level one, which is like not that wide away, but it's not purity law like, is like an original stout that is made with oatmeal, so unmalted grain. When it comes to the purity law, you're only allowed to use malted grains. And so an original Irish stout would not be allowed to brew in Germany based under purity law, because you're using oatmeal or unmalted oatmeal, and that's not allowed. Or also some kind of Mexican lagers that are using corn, or Asian lagers that are parts of the bill is made with rice and malt combined, or the Mexican lagers, corn and malt combined, and would also not be allowed in Germany to produce, or is not the idea of the purity law.
But this is still pretty close to the purity law. It's not that
I guess
far.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, in the Asian regions or like in Middle or South America, the people were using what they having as a raw material that brings the carbs to the mash, so that the yeast can convert those sugars, or the starch to can convert it to fermentable sugars, and then those fermentable sugars can be converted by the yeast to alcohol. So that's when you're having like in Middle America or South America a lot of, you know, corn there, then you're using, of course, for your beer corn parts of it, yeah. And because maybe brewing barley is not that accessible. The same in Asia, in Asian beers, Asian markets, they're using some parts rice, parts malt to brew their beers, their lagers. And I think that seems a proper way to brew, use their beer when you're not possible to have malted grains or brewing barley, malted brewing barley in a certain quality or a certain volume, so that you can brew that. So I guess that's okay. That's how they do it. Local raw materials. Why not? But yeah, it's not covered or not inside the purity law. The next level would be, I guess, for me personally, the idea of adding, except of, you know, some grains or grain-like raw materials that bringing the fermentable sugars to the beer, and next to yeast, water, and hops, as additional ingredients that, like I said, not grain or starch-based, like spices, orange peel, sherries, or lactose, or something like that. There are a lot of beer traditions internationally, like the Belgian. We don't need to go that far away in Belgium, like wit beers with spices and orange peels, or Belgian fruit sours, or fruit beers with sherries, and Irish milk stout. So these are very traditional beers in traditional beer drinking countries that are how the people there define beers. And well, it's not, again, not possible to make this according to the brewery a lot, but still very interesting beers, very good beers, with huge tradition. So this is also something I'm drinking from time to time, especially when I'm in Belgium or whatever. So I guess that's also a great thing that is widening the spectrum of beer. And yeah, so that's the next level I'm also totally fine with, I guess. But let's go to the top max level of craziness in beers, where I start to find those as weird beers. That's what we had there, like those pastry stouts or with fruit purees or with things like cinnamon or I don't know, whatever, or maple syrup or honey and what the heck. So this is gonna be a super, super interesting or weird at some point for me as a German educated, Bavarian educated brewer and beer drinker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a level of craziness that I'm like, okay, I would try every of those beers, definitely. But that's pretty different to that what I'm defining as beer. And as a friend of mine once said, for him, it is more beer-like cocktails. That's like a super, super fancy cocktails a barkeeper created with different kinds of alcohols and juices and whatever, and this is like what he thinks those beers are like, different purees and some malt and some hops and now this and now that, and then add some maple syrup and whatever. So yeah, beer cocktailing he called it that way. In my personal, if I see where that is coming.
Yeah, so this is also something that I experienced when I was in the United States, because you find a lot of brewers in the States that like to experiment, and
that's very true.
Yeah, and you know, that's when was it, in November, I was in the States and I got to taste a very special beer by Ballast Point, and it was a High West Barrel Aged Victory at Sea Imperial Porter. And
wow, what a title.
Yeah.
What a beer style description.
Exactly. I was not really sure what I was getting into at that point.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I knew what a porter was, obviously, but I didn't really expect what would happen there. And then I found out...
What was it again?
The High West Barrel Aged Victory at Sea Imperial Porter. So that's...
Imperial Porter, okay. It's a strong porter. But what is a Victory at Sea?
Victory at Sea. I guess that's the name of the beer. It's
Okay.
So I think so. It was 12% alcohol by volume, 35 IBUs. So it was a heavy beer. It was really heavy. But it also was very sweet with hints of dark chocolate and a little bit of a smoky flavor because of the barrel aging. Notes of caramel, vanilla, coffee. It was a little bit like a beer for dessert. Like when you had a great meal and you want something sweet after it, and something that just
skip the cheesecake. Let's have beer like
exactly
that.
Exactly. It was weird because it was so complex. It was so many flavors. Mm-hmm. That I experienced with that, and it wasn't even the most crazy thing I had when I was in the States. I mean but it was something that just stuck with me because it was really, really good. It wasn't the beer that you drink like three or four of them. You drink one for dessert.
Yeah. Or you even share it with someone.
Exactly. And the other thing I tasted was a beer made with habanero chilies. It was pretty spicy, but it was really good. I mean, that's something that you just have to, you know, just look beyond your own horizon a little bit. And
I guess I would always taste it at least.
Exactly.
I don't know if I would like them, but tasting it and analyzing it and like seeing how I react on something like that.
Yeah.
It's always what I would do.
Exactly. So, and that's why we tried the pastry stouts.
Yes, actually, it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, that gave us the idea for this episode, just to talk a little bit about other beer styles that are not within the purity law. And that was something that was, I mean, I think you have the description, right?
Yeah.
let's listen to that for a second.
I the first sip I took from that beer. So wait, I just get the picture on my phone that I can get the style description right. Give me a second. It was a beer bourbon barrel aged imperial stout with pecans, maple syrup, cinnamon, and maple and natural vanilla flavor, and 10.2% alcohol by volume. So wow, also yep. Very heavy, and you know, a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout for itself is a great beer. Stout is a great beer. Imperial stout is a great beer. Also do it bourbon barrel aged. Fantastic. But then the other pecans, maple syrup, cinnamon, maple and vanilla flavor. I was like so flashed, even reading the can, yeah, that I was like, okay, we need to try this. And after the first sip, I was like, okay, if in my personal Bavarian perspective, it was like, okay, if Starbucks would brew a beer, it would definitely taste like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Just take a beer and put a whole bakery in it. So that's pretty much what it is. Yeah, but it's, you know, on the other side, it's always interesting to taste different beers like that, just to know what's going on in the beer world. Mm-hmm. I mean, the purity law is still part of our history, and it's how we do things. And it's you said it once, it's part of our beer DNA, and and with that, I mean it's so important for us. It's important to stick with that, because people all over the world love the beers according to the purity law. I think you know that, because I mean your job is traveling the world and spreading the word. I mean that's pretty much what you do. And what do you think of that? I mean, is it outdated? Maybe, I don't know.
I guess the purity law is more up to date than it was ever before, because people are like total into, they know what they want to have and they want clean labeled products. So they want to say, okay, I want to know what in the food or in the beverage is in there I'm consuming. So people are having a higher awareness than like 10 years ago when it comes to, okay, what I'm consuming. And beer brewed according to the Bavarian purity law is actually a clean label product like it should be. Only four basic ingredients and nothing more, nothing left, less.
Yeah.
And so it's a very understandable product, and I guess it's more up to date than ever. And and this is how we Bavarian brewers identify beer brewing. But we believe that that's the way how you should brew beer. But on the other hand, you know, the world is such a big place and such a place with so many different tastes and styles and people who want to try something new, and this makes the beer more the beer world, inter world, of course, more colorful and more diverse. And when there are people out there who like bourbon barrel aged imperial stouts with pecans and vanilla flavor and cinnamon, go ahead and brew it. I mean, that's a great thing about living in today's world, that you have the possibility to do so, and that there are people out there who likes it. So how do you like the beer?
I think it was special. It wasn't. I liked it. It was something that I would drink once. It is not something that I would drink like again and again and again. Not like a Hefeweiss beer or a Helles, but it is something that I would, you know, I would love to taste every time, because if you get to experiment a little bit, you can just, you know, look around the world and see so many different beer styles and so many different brewers. That's what people often forget, that different beer styles, different brewers, it's all a big community. And everybody just wants to make good beer. And no matter if it's within the purity law or outside of the purity law, we all have the same goal. And the goal is to make good beer for our time. And everybody should brew and drink just what makes them happy. I mean, that's our approach, is to do it within the purity law and to do it, to do the classic Bavarian beer styles, because we all know that in the end, everybody, and I mean, oh, let's say 99.9% of beer drinkers will go back to their go-to beers, like a Helles, like a lager, a Weiss beer, or something like that.
Or an IPA. It doesn't matter what your go-to exactly beer is, but to its go-to beer. But would you buy, drink those pastry stouts, yeah, or pastry stouts again?
Yeah, I would. It's just that, because it's something else. It's something out of our range that we're used to. And it's never a wrong thing to try something new at some point.
I was a little bit overwhelmed, actually, I must confess, especially in the first few sips. A whole pint can I could not drink. It's not because of the alcohol, but it's like so much. It's so intense. It's like so bam.
Yeah, it's a taste explosion.
Yeah. On the other side, I must say also, from a European or German perspective, this beer is very American.
Yep.
Very loud, very intense, and very crazy and living. Yeah. A wow beer, definitely. And I was totally overwhelmed by it in the first moment. But yeah, I would, in the right situation, right moment, I would buy a can and share it with a friend or two, just to have another, just outside the box experience.
Yeah.
But
in the end,
but it's definitely not a go-to beer for me. But it's something that can show very, very well what's possible.
Yep.
What's brewable too, and still can taste good. So it shows that the world is this big place where everyone can be happy and should brew and drink what makes him happy, like you said. But for me, as one of the brewers here at the Bavarian State Brewery, I think, I'm for a reason working in a brewery like that, and I'm for a reason educated in a Bavarian German university for brewing technology as a brewing engineer. And that's why, that's how I, for me, see beer. And that's why Helles and Weissbier are my go-to beers. If I need to choose for the rest of my life which beers I should drink, it would be Helles and Weissbier.
Yeah.
And I can drink basically anytime, every time, everywhere. And so I guess that's why I'm a Bavarian brewer.
And that pretty much concludes this episode. So
yeah,
thank you very much for listening in. I hope you you got some ideas and some. I hope we gave you a taste for what's possible. And I guess we'll...
And what Bavarian brewers think weird beers are.
Yep, exactly.
But weird not in
a bad way, not in a bad way.
In a bad way, in a way like weird is bad. Weird is just
weird is weird.
For us, how we think beer, or how we learned how beer should be, can be confusing at some point. Let's say it that way.
Yeah.
Maybe say not weird beers for Bavarians. Maybe let's say at the end the topic should be confusing beers for Bavarians.
Unusual and confusing beers for Bavarians.
Let's get to that. That's better. I guess so. Yeah.
All right. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening in. And I guess we'll hear from you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.